My dear brothers and sisters, conference is a wonderful season of the year. Temple Square here in Salt Lake City becomes the gathering place for tens of thousands of you who journey far that you might hear the word of the Lord. It's a humbling experience for one of us to stand here before you, to look into your faces and appreciate your great faith and your devotion to the gospel. Patiently, do you sit on those historic benches, which somehow the passing of time has not made more comfortable? Particularly am I grateful today for the relatively large number of young people who are present. At the beginning of the meeting, I caught the attention of a young lady in the tabernacle balcony to my left, and I've been observing her during the opening exercises. And young lady with the golden hair, I don't know your name, and I don't know your age or from whence you've come, but this I know, your sweet smile and your wonderful innocent expression have persuaded me to place aside for a future occasion that which I had contemplated saying today. And instead, I'd like to speak to you. When I was a little boy your age, I too had a Sunday school teacher, and she used to tell us of Jesus of Nazareth and relate to us the great events in his ministry. One day, she told us how the multitude brought little children unto the Savior that he might place his hands on them and pray. And when his disciples saw this, they were unhappy, and they rebuked those who had brought the children. But when Jesus observed it, he was much displeased with the disciples. And he said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." That lesson learned in Sunday school has never departed from me. In fact, within the past year, I relearned its meaning and partook again of its power. This time, my teacher was the Lord. May I share with you this very sacred experience? Situated hundreds of miles from Salt Lake City is Shreveport, Louisiana. And another 80 miles beyond Shreveport lives the Jack Methvin family. Jack, Nancy, and the boys are all active members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Until recently, a lovely young lady about your age, by her very presence, graced that home. Her name was Crystal Methvin, and then at the tender age of 10, death took her from her earthly tabernacle and closed her earthly sojourn. Crystal liked to run and play on the Methvin Ranch. She was expert at horsemanship and was very well skilled in 4-H work. Her entries won top place in the county and the state fairs. You could say that she had a bright future. Everything was in store for her. Life was wonderful. And then one day, her parents noticed on Crystal's tiny leg an unusual lump. Worried as parents are, they took her to the specialists in New Orleans that a complete examination might be conducted. The team of doctors finished their work and reported their diagnosis: carcinoma. The leg must be removed. Crystal did not despair. She underwent the surgery very successfully and returned to her home as buoyant as ever. Time marched on, and then it was discovered that the malignancy had spread to her tiny lungs. Even then, the family did not despair. But they talked things over in a family home evening. They had planned a trip to Salt Lake City. They would still make that trip, only now they would travel by plane rather than by car, and their little Crystal would accompany them, that she might have fulfilled that great desire of her heart to visit the headquarters of the church, and furthermore, have fulfilled in her behalf a special request that she might receive a blessing from one of the general authorities of the church. The Methven family did not know any particular general authority, so they unfolded one of these large picture charts, which contained the photos and the names of every general authority. Little Crystal was to make her own choice, and by pure chance, her finger roamed over the pictures and rested on my picture. Unfortunately, she never made that visit to Salt Lake City. Her condition deteriorated, and the end drew nigh. Yet even then, she did not lose her faith. She said to her mother and father, "Isn't conference coming?" "Yes." "Will a general authority visit here?" "Yes." "Well, then, if a general authority will come to our conference, why not Brother Monson? If I can't go to him, surely Jesus can bring him to me." Meanwhile, back here at church headquarters, we had no knowledge of the events transpiring in Shreveport, Louisiana. On the weekend where the Shreveport conference was scheduled, I was assigned to effect a division of the El Paso, Texas stake. One day, however, our quorum president, President Ezra Taft Benson, called me to his office. He said, "Brother Monson, one of the other brethren has done some preliminary work relative to the El Paso division. I think it would be appropriate if he were assigned to effect the division. And then, would it be all right if you were assigned elsewhere?" I responded, "Of course, President Benson, wherever you send me." And then he looked down the list of about 40 state conferences for that approaching weekend. He said, "Brother Monson, I feel impressed to send you to the Shreveport, Louisiana stake." The assignment was made, the weekend arrived, and I flew to Shreveport, Louisiana. My, it was a busy Saturday. I remember we had a meeting with the stake presidency, a meeting with the patriarch, another meeting with the priesthood leaders, and then a general leadership meeting scheduled that evening. Almost apologetically, President Charles Cagle, the stake president, asked, "Brother Monson, we have a special request to make of you. In our stake, there's a young lady about 10 years of age who is very ill with terminal cancer. Would you have time to give her a blessing? Her name is Crystal Methven." I said, "Oh, I'd be happy to give her a blessing. Will she be at conference, or is she confined to a Shreveport hospital?" Again, Brother Cagle spoke very apologetically. He said, "Brother Monson, Crystal is confined to her home, 80 miles from Shreveport." I looked at the meeting schedule for the afternoon, for the evening, for the next morning, even my return flight home, and there was simply no time. An alternative suggestion came to mind. Why couldn't we remember Crystal's name in the opening prayer of the conference, and then again at the closing prayer of the conference? Surely our Heavenly Father would understand. The decision was made. When the decision was communicated to the Methven family, they understood, each one. But on the other hand, there was a trace of disappointment as well. After all, hadn't our Heavenly Father brought Brother Monson all the way to Shreveport? Can't we do something to get him the next 80 miles to our home, that our little Crystal might have her desire granted unto her? "We need to pray again," said the Methven family, "and fast." And so upon their knees they went. And at that precise time, the clock on the wall of the stake center in Shreveport showed the time to be 7:45. We were in the midst of our leadership meeting, and it had been a good one. I was shuffling through my notes, preparing to step to the pulpit, when I heard a voice speak to my spirit. The message was brief, the words familiar. "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." My notes became a blur, and I could picture in my mind's eye a little girl lying helpless, awaiting the fulfillment of a great desire to receive a blessing from a particular person. A decision was made. After all, people are more important than meetings. I turned to Bishop James Serra, who was seated next to me, and suggested that he leave the meeting and telephone our decision to the Methven family, that early the next morning, we would be at Crystal's bedside. The Methven family had just arisen from their knees when the good word came that at 6 the next morning, the brethren, on the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, in a spirit of fasting and prayer, would be at their home. My brothers and sisters, I shall never forget and long remember that experience of traveling to that heaven which the Methven family calls home. I've been in hallowed places. I've been in holy houses. But I have rarely been where I have felt more prominently the Spirit of our Heavenly Father. It was wonderful. We entered the large bedroom where little Crystal lay so perilously ill. The room was filled with light that came from the sunshine flowing through the east window. And just as the sunshine filled that room with light, so the Spirit of the Lord filled our hearts with love. I walked to the little girl's bedside, looked down at her. She was too weak to stand, too ill to speak almost, and her malignancy had now rendered her blind. As I stood by her bed, I dropped to my knees, and I took her little hand in mine, and I remember saying to her, "Crystal, it's Brother Monson. I'm here." And she squeezed my hand and said, "Brother Monson, I just knew you'd come." I looked around the room at the members of the family and the priesthood leadership. Not a person was standing. Each was upon bended knee. A blessing was given. And then she said, "Thank you." A fitting benediction to a glorious experience. We filed from the room and went about the activities of the conference. But those of us who were in that bedroom that Sabbath day, and to Jack and Nancy Methven, who daily entered that same room, we shall not forget Crystal's little doll sitting in the corner, or the wax crayon drawings which appeared on the wall. And to us, the immortal words from Eugene Field's classic Little Boy Blue will ever be a reminder of the sweet spirit of our Heavenly Father. You remember that Field wrote, "The little toy dog is covered with dust, but sturdy and staunch he stands. The little toy soldier is red with rust, while his musket molds in his hand. Time was when the little toy dog was new, and the soldier passing fair. And that was the time when our little boy blue kissed them and placed them there. Now don't you go till I come," he said, "and don't you make any noise." So he toddled off to his trundle bed to dream of his pretty toys. And while he was dreaming, an angel song awakened our little boy blue. Oh, the years are many and the years are long, but the little toy friends are true. Aye, faithful to little boy blue they stand, each in the same old place, awaiting the touch of a little hand, the smile of a little face. And they wonder, while waiting, the long years through, in the dust of that little chair, what has become of our little boy blue since he kissed them and placed them there. You and I, my brothers and sisters, have no need to wonder or to wait for such an answer. We have the promise of the Lord when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And to Jack and Nancy Methven, who parted with their little one just 4 days after our visit, the entire stake joined in fasting and prayer on that Thursday, We remembered the little girl's name in a special meeting here in the temple in Salt Lake City. And that day, the eternal spirit of little Crystal Methvin left its disease-ravaged earthly body and returned home to that God who had given her life. To you, Jack and Nancy Methvin, the Lord has said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And perhaps you may hear your little Crystal echoing the words of the Master, "Mommy, Daddy, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." And to you, my little blonde friend in the balcony, may I assure you that Jesus of Nazareth loves little children, that he hears your prayers, that he'll answer them in his own sweet way. May I testify to you that he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." I know these are the words he spoke to the throng on the coast of Judea by the waters of Jordan, for I have read them. I know that these are the words which he spoke to an apostle on assignment in Shreveport, Louisiana, for I heard them. And to these truths, I testify solemnly and humbly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.